Welcome back. Welcome.
Welcome.
Back.
Back
to the
Saturday
Splash.
Oh my gosh.
That was well coordinated. Welcome back to the Saturday Splash here on 94.5 WGTK The Answer. We are Maddie and Lynn from the Greenville Soil and Water Conservation District. Thank you guys for listening. Don't forget, you can check us out online at SaturdaySplash.com.
That's right. And we are rejoined after our Adopt-A-Stream talk. We're rejoined by Barbara Foster from the Greenville Zoo.
She is a bona fide reptile curator. That's her title, y'all. Reptile curator. That sounds so cool. Adam in our last segment had mentioned a program called Frog Watch, which we have talked about on this program before. But we have the expert, the one and only Frog Watch coordinator, Ms. Barbara Foster. Tell us about the frogs. What is Frog Watch?
Frog Watch is a wonderful opportunity for people to get to learn their frog calls during the breeding season, and then go out between February and August each year at night, 1/2 hour after sunset, and report back whatever frog calls they're hearing so that we can learn about which species are abundant and in our environment.
So how am I supposed to know if, like, I go out and listen, how do I know what frog is what, Barbara?
Well, you would want to attend a training first. And we just set the dates for our training, our Frog Watch volunteer trainings. They'll be at the Belmont Fire Department both times on Saturdays, February 25th and March 25th in 2017, from 10 a.m. in the morning until 3 p.m. You'll need to sign up for that first. Go to the Greenville Zoo's website and click on the Get Involved tab and sign up for that in advance.
So what does one do at a training?
We teach you how to identify the frog calls. And then we do go out and take a walk there at Lake Conestee. We have two places that we monitor the frog calls. And we've been doing it now for 6 years. So this coming year will be our 7th year.
That's great. So that one really cool thing about that is if you go out to Conestee to do the Frog Watch there, you get to go to Conestee after dark.
Right. And that's very special because it's normally closed and we get to go out there because we're doing research.
And not that I've ever been there at night because it's closed, but let me tell you, Conestee after dark is the place to be. Conestee at sunset is really the place to be. If you want to see frogs.
Beavers and deer and owls and hearing barred owls and seeing bats.
It's amazing. I love all the critters, and I take my dog out there, and she, I guess, I don't know if it's because they are reptiles, but she will walk right past a snake, a toad. It's like,
they hold still.
Look at this wonder.
They don't notice it until they move.
Yeah, and then they want to chase them.
Yes.
That's why you're on a leash, dog.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, so let's talk about frogs of the Southeast. How many different species of frogs are you trained for in Frog Watch?
Well, in South Carolina, we have a total of 32 species of frogs, and that's an awful lot to learn, especially in one training session. So we usually train people on about the 16 to 17 species that they may hear just in this area. Otherwise, it gets a little too confusing, but people are certainly encouraged to learn the calls of all the species here in South Carolina.
Do you have a favorite frog?
I guess,
is this too biased? You don't want to hurt the frog's feelings.
Right, I don't.
I love them all, but...
It's true. I do love them all. I have to say that I'm particularly fond of spring peepers because that's just a harbinger of spring. When you start hearing the spring peepers, that's spring to me.
All right, well, Barbara, I think what we need to do now is you need to do all 16 frog calls for us. Okay, no, I'm kidding.
Have you perfected one?
I have those on my phone. I can play. There's an app for that.
Well, if you play this, the app, if you play the sound, will they call back to you?
Sometimes they will, yes. And spring peepers in particular will change the sound of their call in comparison to, you know, how close another male frog is calling, because it's only the male frogs that call.
Really? Only the boys, huh?
They're calling the girls to the water.
All right.
Hey, girl. Come hop in my pond. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
Lady.
That's how it works.
Oh, cool.
So, okay. So you guys go out to Lake Conestee. How many times did you say you go? Usually?
Between February and August. Frog Watch USA would love for people to get out there twice a week. Mm-hmm. But that's not always possible. But if you volunteer and go out and monitor at least 4 times in a season, between February and August, then you're considered an active volunteer.
Cool. And do you have to go out to Conestee, or can you do recordings in your own backyard?
Sure, you can. If you've got a drainage ditch or a pond or a puddle, anywhere where frogs are calling at your home or otherwise, you can go ahead and monitor there, which is great. And the more sites, the better. In fact, there's almost 900 sites that are being monitored across the United States.
Wow.
And there's 141 chapters.
That's very cool.
Of Frogwatch USA chapters.
So if I wanted to, do some Frogwatch, sampling in my backyard, but maybe I didn't have frogs, is there something that I could do to my backyard to encourage frogs?
Sure. You could build a small wetland. You can get one of those garden ponds, and set that up for them. Just probably don't want to add fish. That would be better because they eat frog eggs a lot of times.
Oh,
fancy. That sounds gourmet.
Fish.
Frog egg. Yeah. All right. So why should we care about frogs? Why are they so important?
Well, worldwide, about a third of them are considered threatened with extinction. And there are some deadly fungus. There's just disease that is a problem. And then some other unknown factors. And even climate change may be affecting them, as well as things like pollution. Even roads, like if those frogs breed during a certain time of the year when it rains and a road happens to be between their woodland habitat and the water that they need to breed in, as they're crossing the roads, they are getting run over. So lots of things, affecting their populations. So we would like to keep, common frogs and toads common. And we can report back to Frogwatch USA to let them know if there's emerging patterns of, disease, or if we find dead frogs or don't hear frogs. Or if we don't have enough rainfall, maybe it's, maybe we're not hearing them because we aren't getting enough rain.
So you mentioned toads. What is the difference between a frog and a toad?
Well, typically toads are a little bit more able to spend time away from water. All amphibians are tied to water in some way or another. Their skin, it allows water to go back and forth. So they can absorb water rather than drink it. So toads have more...
kind of a thicker, scalier, not scalier, but a thicker, rougher skin.
Right. It's,
yeah.
It doesn't lose as much water as things like a frog's frog skin.
Like a tree frog.
Right.
Yeah. That
right.
Makes sense.
And so they can be found even in deserts. There are species of toads that can be found in deserts.
Oh. Yeah. And to that point, going back to why should we care about frogs, frogs are really cool. And other reptiles like salamanders are the same way. They're called indicator species. So you can use the presence or absence of the indicator species to know
exactly
how healthy your ecosystem is. So if you're finding lots of variety, lots of diversity, lots of species, it can be assumed, or you can make judgment that you have a relatively healthy ecosystem. But once those species start disappearing, well, then you know you're in trouble because they've got very, very permeable skin. So if there are toxins or pollutants in the environment, they take that in right through their skin.
Which that was the word I was looking for, permeable.
Yes, yes, which I think that's so cool. It's just breathe through your skin.
So
no
frogs,
big deal.
Frogs and pavement, permeable and impermeable.
Yes. Very different.
It's like the random thoughts that fly through my head.
Yeah. All right, so what does Frogwatch do with the data that they collect?
It all gets put into Frogwatch FieldScope, which is a wonderful visualization tool for your data. So you can make... maps and graphs. You can check, what was the species that you heard the most. You can check by temperature, by weather patterns. So it's just a great tool for scientists to arrive at conclusions from all of this data.
And you mentioned an app.
Yeah, there's several frog identification apps from their calls. And some places are working on them for South Carolina right now.
Oh, that's really cool. I always think that I wish that we have frogs. I hear frogs outside my house all the time. And I always wish that there was like a Shazam for frogs.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yes,
and
yes.
What
that
is
has
that
been
noise?
Talked about. Yeah. I agree. And I wish that the frog calls could be so uniform that you could tell. But they're often affected by the temperature or how long they've been calling, because those males get tired. If they start calling at, say, 8 p.m., by 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, they're exhausted. That takes a lot of energy. So they don't, and the colder it is, the slower they call.
Hmm. And they can be so darn loud, too. We have one. I wish I could figure it. Well, you know what? You'll have to come to my house and we'll have you for dinner, and then you can identify my frog. But there's one that lives, it might be a toad. It lives outside my back porch. It's so loud. I'm like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, just take a video. It may be dark, but go ahead and take a video which records the sound, and then
that's a good idea.
Yeah, and then I can tell you what it is.
Brilliant.
So you can come to the training.
Come to the training. Yes, I would like to do that.
Yeah, February 25th and March 25th are those trainings. So
there is an online training for Frog Watch USA, but you get your best training when you actually come to a training because you get to learn your local frog calls.
Yeah, and you get to meet the community and, you know, see who else is out there listening to frogs.
And I bet there's other opportunities too. I mean, just, you know, as far as like meeting people, because like people who are doing Frog Watch, maybe they're also doing Adopt-A-Stream and you could learn something else.
I know the Engassers from doing Frog Watch, mm-hmm. and they were very short and small children at that time.
Now.
And they are very tall and look like very fine young adults, and they've moved on to the Adopt-A-Stream, and I'm very excited for them.
That's great. So what else, anything else coming up at the zoo that we need to know about?
Oh, so many things. Let's see. We will probably have some press releases out soon, but I'm not sure what I'm allowed to share.
Something's coming up. You don't know what you can say yet.
Zoo stuff. So tell us about the reptile house. That just recently got redone, didn't it? Fairly recently?
Yeah, with February of 2016.
Ectopia.
Yeah, we renamed it Ectopia. Yes. We put up some new graphics, and we are working on a new exhibit this winter.
And what does Ectopia mean?
It means home of ectotherms. So reptiles and amphibians are ectotherms. They're not able to control their body temperature, and it's a home for them.
That's awesome. All right. Well, thank you, Barbara Foster, reptile curator from the Greenville Zoo. This has been another episode of the Saturday Splash. Thank you guys for listening. Don't forget, check us out online at SaturdaySplash.com and tune in this Saturday and every Saturday at 7 a.m. here on 94.5 WGTK The Answer.